And I'm going to ask you this morning to help teach the class as we look at some biblical peas. We all know something about the vegetable, don't we? Peas. And we can derive a lot of nourishment from peas. We enjoyed some last evening with Terry and Merlene. There are different varieties of peas. If you all have already planted a garden, perhaps you've planted some peas. Maybe acre peas, or black-eyed peas, or crowder peas. What other kind of peas are they? What kind? Oh, okay. And there's a zipper pea, too, I believe, isn't it? Have you already planted it, Lewis? Okay. So we have a knowledge of the vegetable pea, and I wonder if we have as much knowledge of biblical peas. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, we're simply looking at some words in the Bible that begin with the letter P, or a subject, an event, or a person who's with the word P begins with them. Maybe not the person especially, but also it describes what that person is or what that event was, if you understand what I'm saying. And so I want us to look first, and I'm going to call out some of the peas that I have listed here, and it has been, several months ago, the thought occurred to me. I had preached some sermons on biblical seeds, and so I thought, well, you know, I'll see about the peas, and maybe a class can help me come up with some more. But I was surprised when I began to begin in Genesis and just kind of going through the highlights and listing some of the peas. And so the first one that I want to throw out to you this morning is the word purpose. Purpose. What does that mean to you? Purpose. When you consider divine things, when you consider God, Christ, and the church, and all things related to it, especially as we go to Genesis, purpose. What does purpose mean? What does it stand for? In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, someone might turn and read those verses for us. Maybe Farron will do that. He can quote it. Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. What'd you hear? Did you hear the word purpose? According to the eternal purpose of God. You see, before God made man, He made a plan. And it was hidden and it was concealed for centuries. And He knew that when He created man, He was going to disobey Him. And right then, He could have ceased and said, I forget all about it. But no, His purpose was to reveal to you and to me and to all of us, I believe, His wisdom, of course, and His knowledge, but it reveals His love that He would have for man. And He would demonstrate what true forgiveness is all about. And so the church was established according to God's eternal what? Purpose. Don't forget that. Because the church, good people, is not an accident. Some would tell us today that the church was established because when Jesus came to establish His church or kingdom, the kingdom, the same as we know, but because the Jews rejected Him, and He then established the church as a substitute to postpone the establishment of the kingdom, so that now when He comes again, He's going to establish His kingdom. How does that sound? Don't sound right, does it? And it isn't right, because the church was according to God's eternal purpose, as we read there. So don't let anyone try to tell you that Jesus is going to come back now and do what He failed to do the first time. How would we know He wouldn't fail the second time? And so the church is according to God's eternal purpose. And isn't it wonderful? A privilege indeed. And all of us can be a part of God's eternal purpose. Of something that He had in His mind from before the foundation of the world. And so that's just the first P I was going to throw out to you. But now, before we leave and go very far in the Bible, then let's notice, of course, someone might say, people. There's a P. And God made some people, of course. But within these few chapters, we can see a promise. A promise. Put your mind to work. What kind of promise do we find that God made in these first two or three chapters of Genesis? What did He promise Adam and Eve when He put them in the garden? What did He promise them? Now, He told them they could partake of the fruit of every tree except the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But what did He promise? What did He promise? The day that you eat thereof, what's going to happen? You shall surely die. God keeps His promise. And when they partook of the forbidden fruit, that day, they died, didn't they? Didn't God say that? Didn't He say that when they partook of it, the day they did it, they were going to die? Well, they didn't die physically, did they? But there are two kinds of death. There is your physical death. There is the spiritual death. And what does death mean anyway? Ben, somebody speak up. I'm kind of hard of hearing. Separation. And so they died that day in that they were what? Separated from God. They had sinned. And sin has always and always will be a separator. When we transgress God's law, when we are disobedient to Him, then we're guilty of sin. That is a death. Some people are dead and they don't know it. You say, well, where does the Bible say anything about that? I've been believe you'll find it in Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul went to Ephesus to preach to those people, taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And he said something about them twice in the first several verses of Ephesians 2. He said that you were what? Dead. When he came there, you were dead in your sins. So, don't let anybody try to tell you that Adam and Eve didn't die that day, because they did. And then, hundreds of years later, they died physically. But like I say, some are dead and they don't know it. Like the little boy that had a turtle I heard of one time. And so he just got tired of that turtle and he took a knife and he cut his head off. Well, the old turtle just kept walking. And he looked down and he said, "Well, old buddy, you're dead and you just don't know it." And I think that describes many people today. They don't want to accept the fact that they are separated from God by disobeying His will. So we see the purpose, we see people that God made, and then we see here the promise that He made too. After Adam and Eve had sinned, there's another promise that we find recorded there in Genesis 3, I believe it is, where He pronounced a curse upon the ground, upon man, and upon woman, and upon the old serpent. Now then, who in this class? Raise your hand if you know what promise did God make there in Genesis 3:15. Aaron? That's right. God made a promise that the seed of what? Of woman was going to come and bruise the head of the old serpent. That's a promise He made right there. How long did it take Him to fulfill that promise? We don't know how long it took. But we know we go through generation. Where is that woman? Where is the seed of woman? Who is she? And who will be that seed? Anyone remember what Isaiah 7:14 says? Isaiah 7:14, a scripture that you should know by memory. Isaiah gave a prophecy there that relates to what we find in Genesis 3:15. And somebody is going to read it. There's your seed. Isaiah didn't know what it was. None of the prophets knew what that seed was. But it was going to come through the seed of woman. Not just any woman, was it? What kind of woman? A virgin woman. Right, a virgin woman. And they would call His name Emmanuel, as it says here. But we see the fulfillment of that promise in Matthew chapter 1. When the angel appeared to Joseph, who was upset because Mary had conceived a child and he knew it wasn't his. But the angel, you know, allayed his fears by saying, "Fear not." Why? Because that which is in her was conceived by what? The Holy Spirit. And then there goes a reference to Isaiah 7:14. The angel had already said of the multitude that the angels had said, you know, the Christ, the seed is coming. And don't be afraid, because Jesus is coming, who will save His people from their sins. So Jesus there is the Emmanuel of Isaiah 7, verse 14. So good people, God keeps His promise. His calendar is not like ours. His timetable may not agree with us, but God will always do what He says. You know, Peter raised the question, you know, where is the promise of His coming? And all these years, and He hadn't come yet. And since then, it's been a lot of years, but with God, what is a day? Okay, with Him, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. He doesn't reckon time as you and I reckon it. And so God keeps His promise. We may not understand, but as the song says, we'll understand better when, by and by. So there is the promise. And as we have already suggested, there's another P that goes along with the promise, and that is prophets. Prophets. And in the Bible, we have the record of many prophets. And of course, there were the major prophets, and there were the minor prophets in the Old Testament. And many of them, of course, gave some prophecies concerning the coming of the eternal purpose of God. What did Isaiah said that it was going to be established in where? Jerusalem, when He comes. Joel said it was going to be when? In the latter days. And Daniel said, when is it going to be? In the days of the Roman kings. Well, the Pharaoh's already told you this, I'm sure. And you know it. You've memorized it. And you've heard other preachers say it. If you want to remember where all these things are, look to the second chapter of Isaiah. Look to the second chapter of Joel. And look to the second chapter of Daniel. And if you want to see the fulfillment of all these prophecies, look to the second one. Pentecost. Look to Acts 2 in the New Testament. Because there we know for a certainty what the Old Testament prophet said, it was true. This is in Jerusalem now. All nations are there. And Joel had said, when was it going to happen? It shall come to pass in the latter days. What is that? We don't have to guess about it. Because in Acts chapter 2, when Peter was speaking, he referred to Joel's prophecy. This is that, he says, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass, he shall pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Now, the merging of all these things is found in another chapter in the New Testament. Talking about the prophecies, they all come together in Ephesians chapter 2. How so? That all nations would flow unto it. And then he speaks of reconciliation. Between whom? All right? And there specifically he says the Jews and the Gentiles. And they would be reconciled in what? The one body. Reconciliation. Peace established between Jews and Gentiles. And this would take place in the one body. Raise your hand. Who knows what the one body is? What is the one body? The church. What is the church? The eternal purpose of God. That's what it is. And so now, you and I, all of us, are a part of the one body, which is the church. So as we talk about biblical peace, then we see the purpose, we see the people, we see the promises, we see the prophets. But when we come, and we've talked about the seed of woman, but when we come to Noah, is there a word that you think of now? Put your thinking caps on. Somebody over here. When we think of Noah then, is there a P that would relate to the coming of the seed? What do you do, Lewis, when you can some fruit? Put it in a jar to do what? Preserve it. To preserve it. So that's what Noah did. He was responsible for the preservation of the world. God could have destroyed the whole world, but he found, Noah found favor in his sight. And so, through Noah, the seed was preserved. And thus we can begin to see just how important the church really is, the value of it. But as we go on through the Old Testament, reading of the Jews, God's people, when they were in Egyptian bondage and they were crying for deliverance, and Moses came, and there were how many plagues came upon the land? Pick up 10 plagues. And so, what was the 10th plague that would preserve, of course, the children of Israel? What do we see there? All right? There was the establishment of the Passover. There's your biblical P, the Passover, to protect God's people and the children. Then they said, take a lamb, kill this lamb without spot or blemish, place the blood on the lintels and the doorpost, and when I see the blood, I will what? Pass over you. So that was the beginning of the Passover feast. You still observe it today. But we have a new Passover. Who is our Passover? Jesus. Jesus is our Passover. And it's through His blood then that we can be spared eternal death. They were delivered from death through the shedding of blood. We can be delivered from the bondage of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now then, maybe it's time for us to ask you to come up with some P's that you think about. Maybe there's another event somewhere Or maybe there is a person somewhere. And we can come to the New Testament and think about some P's there. Who has one in mind? Maybe a person. Maybe an event. Well, when Jesus came and was in the garden with his disciples short time before he would be crucified, what did he do? A P? Prayed. Right. He went into the garden and he prayed. Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And his sweat became what? As great drops of blood. So we see prayer, an important tool that we have in our arsenal against the devil. And maybe we don't utilize that as much as we should. Prayer. There is power in prayer. And I appreciate you all remembering me in your prayers. And I firmly believe I'm here today because of the prayers of faithful brethren who were informed of my condition, and that has enabled me to come. And God, of course, works through men, through prayer, and through providing medical assistance for us in time of need. And so there is prayer. But now, when Jesus was arrested and he was taken away by the Jews, and who was it that then was responsible for delivering him into the hands of the Jews to do with him as they pleased? But Pilate, there's your P then. Pilate was the one. And then he was led away to be crucified. We could go into detail about crucifixion and what that involved. But there is a P that you can't help but think about. And you think of Jesus being crucified. What would that P be? Pain. Pain. All the pain he suffered when those nails were driven through his hands and feet. But even before that, the pain that came with the laceration there that often was fatal of the beating that he sustained. And so there, it's hard for us to realize that he suffered as he did. But let me leave this thought with you. The greatest pain that he experienced was not physical. It wasn't physical pain. But it was emotional pain. Because on the cross he uttered seven things. And one of the things that he uttered was, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That brought him immense pain to know that his Father separated from him. For the first and only time, he was separated. But it had to be so. Because Jesus was becoming the sin offering for us. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so, God couldn't be identified with sin. And so, he was separated from him on that occasion. Oh, he knew what it means to be separated from God. And would that people today truly understand what it means to be separated. You wouldn't have the carelessness, the indifference, and the lukewarmness on the part of many in the church if they truly recognize then the pain of sin, what sin does. It separates. We may close a little early, but these are some P's that I wanted to mention to you, and there's one other that I think of, and that is concerning the eternal purpose of God being the church. One day, and the church now is not perfect, is it? Because it's made of, there's the divine side, which is perfect. There's the human side, you and me, we're not perfect. But one day when He comes to receive His bride, and the bride is He presented to Him, it will be without spot or blemish. There is your He, perfection. No longer will there be any sin in the church. It will be the glorified body of Jesus Christ. Now, there are so many others. I don't know whether I'll ever be back here again or not. Like I say, I've come full circle. This is where I began my local ministry. This is where it will end. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that I'll never preach again. No, I hope when I'm 100, there'll still be brethren who want me to come. But you've listened well. Have you learned anything? I hope you have. And we'll just go ahead and have our intermission at this time. That'll give me a little opportunity to relax before time for our worship. Thank you so much.